Chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, that's page 440 in the Pew Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 20 through 33, Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. On page 440 in your Pew Bibles. Hear God's word. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like a storm. And your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And here ends the reading from the holy and inspired word of God. May he bless that to our hearts and to our minds. As the last couple of weeks, we've begun to look at the book of Proverbs, and we see in this book that wisdom is being introduced to us. Wisdom has been introduced to us from a few angles, and we were told that the starting point of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. When we fear, when we reverence the Lord, that begins that starting point for us to come to his word and to take his word seriously and to begin to grow, for knowledge to be turned into wisdom. We pursue wisdom. And last week, as we have continued this longer introduction in the book of Proverbs, we had a covenant youth, a son, who in many ways represents all of us, whether male or female, young or old, all of us, this son who is being spoken to by the teacher in Proverbs, by his father, and that son is being encouraged to not walk away, to not consent with sin, and to not go and to live that life of rebellion that dwells within his heart. Now, today is a bit different. Today we don't have a father sitting down with the son. Actually, we don't see one of the parents at all in this text, we have a woman who is called Wisdom. And this woman who is called Wisdom in the book of Proverbs, she is responding to those, or encouraging those, or speaking to those who are the foolish and the simple and the scorners. Those who are unwilling to listen or unable to listen to the Word of God and to live a life of submission where they walk in the wisdom that Proverbs puts forward. Our text is Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33. I read that. I'll read that again. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you and will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel, and I would have none of my rebuke. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Then they will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So the imagery, if we just look at the imagery before we even divide it out, the imagery is that there is this woman who is named Wisdom, and she's standing in the streets, and she's standing at the marketplace, and she's standing at the city gates where the elders reign, and she's yelling. She's yelling out, and she's calling on those that are simple and those that are foolish and those that are scorners. And she's saying, how long will you not listen to me? How long will you not find yourself in submission to the Word of God? And we see from this woman, as we'll see later in the book of Proverbs, that this woman is understood to be a personification that the New Testament tells us that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And we find ourselves as people submitting to Christ and having the Spirit of Christ poured out upon us, that we may have wisdom and that we may live lives where we're no longer simpletons and fools and scorners. But this woman who's crying out Wisdom, she's crying and calling on them to have the Spirit poured out upon them. And all these young people, they just scorn and they laugh and they think she is a crazy old lady. And what happens is that calamity comes, and destruction comes, and judgment comes to these young people. And then they cry out for wisdom to come and to help them. And wisdom here in this proverb says, and by that time it will be too late. They'll call on me when they're already being destroyed. It's as if they're caught up in a whirlwind, in a tornado. And as they're in the middle of that tornado, they're saying, can you help us now? Beyond help. So what is the text teaching us? What do we see about wisdom in our text? The first thing that we see in verses 20 through 22 is that wisdom speaks. Wisdom speaks. As you think about the way that wisdom is described in society, or the way that wisdom is described in culture or in philosophy, often the idea of wisdom is that one who is alone on the mountain, maybe in a yogi position, says nothing but just appears to be this wise old man or this wise old woman that's bringing in the wisdom of the universe, and nothing is said. Or you think of that old person in the rocker, and you sit and you want to hear, and you ask them some question about the meaning of life, and real slowly they give you this tiny answer to meditate on and think, okay, that's wise. I can grow from hearing that little piece of knowledge. And often this is how wisdom is personified. But I want you to hear the very first way that wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs. It's not the yogi on the mountain as the sun sets. It's not the old man in the rocking chair on the front porch, whittling away and giving his wisdom. Proverbs begins with the personification of wisdom as a woman yelling in the streets. Think about that. What would you think? Like, we leave church, we go out, and here on Livingston, and this has happened before, there'll be some woman yelling in the street. You'll take your kids and you'll move them away from the woman. You'll say, oh, she's crazy. Let's not listen to her. Or you'll quickly move into your car, or maybe one of the deacons will say, is there something that we can do to help? What do you need? But the idea is that instantly we go to that if there's a woman yelling in the street, she's probably crazy. And you would think that too if you went to the grocery store. Say tomorrow you go to Publix to get your week's worth of groceries, and there in the middle of Publix is this woman just yelling out what she thinks that you should know. And it's not just on the streets or in Publix. She's actually at the city gates as well. She's there where the city council meets. She's there in Tallahassee yelling in the streets. And she is giving wisdom. Now again, when we think about a woman yelling in the streets, or a woman yelling in Publix, or a woman yelling in the market, we think crazy. We think she needs help. We think inappropriate. But if it was that she's yelling and there's a car coming and a child in the road and you didn't see it, and oh, it brings some context to why she's yelling. Or she's in Publix and her child was just abducted from her, and you know now why she's yelling. Or she's yelling out in her front, from her front yard, and you realize that her house is on fire. And you see that the context and the reasons justify the woman who is yelling. And we see in Proverbs, verse 21, she cries out in the chief concourses. And 20, she's raising her voice in the opening squares and at the opening gates of the city. She is speaking her word. So she's speaking. One commentator said, Lady Wisdom is no gentle persuader. She shouts, scolds, reasons, threatens, warns, and even mocks, all quite unladylike and also quite unfashionable, even frowned upon. But this is how Proverbs begins with wisdom. Why does she yell out? She yells out because she's trying to save the scorner and the fool and the simple. She's trying for them to be in submission to word of God, the Word of God, and to have the Word of God penetrate their hearts and minds. And something that I want you to notice about wisdom is that she is not crying out in the church. Now, does that mean there's no wisdom that comes from the church? Well, I hope not. But what it means is that this wisdom that goes forward in the book of Proverbs, it's not like we see in ordinary preaching. And it's not like what we would see in the academy, wisdom being applied or knowledge being applied that it may be wisdom. It's not something that's regarded for the belonging to those that are philosophy majors or theology majors. It's not wisdom crying out in the classroom. She's crying out in the streets and the marketplace where these things are to be applied. We are told so often that our religion belongs within the walls of the church, or it's a private matter that is only between us and our God. And the scriptures here have Lady Wisdom saying, the Word of God is applicable in the grocery store and in the street and in the government. This is how wisdom is applied. In verse 22 says, "How long, O you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge." If you remember back to Sermon 1 in this series, Proverbs are directed at different categories of hearers, different categories of persons that hear the Word of God. And here we have Lady Wisdom saying, I'm talking to the simple and the scorner and the foolish. And she puts them all together in this category and says, in a sense, I have one unified message for you. The simple are, of course, those that are unable to commit, unable to make a decision as to what they believe or where they will draw the line. And the foolish are those that maybe know the way that they should act and the way that they should live and how they should submit to Jesus Christ, but they're always living in folly and foibles. And then we have the scorner. The scorner is the one who has at a time known and has grown bitter through the constant rejection of the Word of God, and they become something of a mocker of the Word of God. One preacher said, we don't have to tell ourselves, I hate wisdom, to miss out on wisdom. We only have to be okay with the way we are. The scoffers and fools are more advanced causes, more hardened. A scoffer is an aggressive, confident, calculating person, outwardly impressive, often successful, but he will slit your throat. A fool is thick-headed, a stubborn dolt. He doesn't listen. He always knows better, always has an excuse. Nothing is ever his fault. Both the scoffer and the fool are headed for disaster. But the simple, they are the uncommitted, and they don't really know what they're living for, and they tend to go with the flow and to conform. And the simple still have a chance. They do not live with urgency, and they need to make up their minds. The problem is they just don't feel strongly either way. They do not live with urgency. So wisdom is crying out, and she's speaking to all three of these categories of hearers. Those that are simple, I don't know, maybe, It could be. It could not be. The fool. This isn't my fault. I'm always right. I know what I'm doing. Or the one who is the scorner, the one who is always right and thick-headed and digs his heels or her heels in. And wisdom says, I will speak to all of these categories. I will speak to all of these persons. And as we look at the book of Proverbs, it's not something that's untouchable, meaning that only the academics or those with advanced degrees or whatever could understand it. And it's not so simple that it is only for the simpletons. It's something that affects all of us, because at times we are in different categories, aren't we? There are times where there are applications of the Christian faith where we're being simple. And there are other times where a lack of application of the Christian faith puts us in the scorner seat. The book of Proverbs is wisdom from Jesus Christ for all of us. We see, secondly, this evening, verses 24 through 32. Now, I want you to notice that I'm skipping a couple of verses. I'm going to come back to them, but that is for a reason. But I want you to look here at verses 24 through 32 and see, secondly, that wisdom judges. Wisdom does not only speak, but wisdom also judges. It says, I've called and you've refused. I've stretched out my hand and you've not regarded. You've disdained my counsel. You've not taken my rebukes. And then I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock your terrors. When your terror comes like a storm, and then you will call on me and you will not find me, because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, etc. Friends, there comes a time when the patience of God runs out. This is something that we are taught in the Word of God. God pleads with you through Jesus Christ. He pleads with you to believe the gospel and to put your sin at His feet and to trust in Christ for the salvation of your souls. He pleads with you through Christ, and the wisdom of Christ pleads with you as Jesus woos you, and as the Proverbs remind you that there is a God that hears, and a God that listens, and a God who loves, and a God who is patient. But here we're reminded in verses 24 to 32 that that patience has an end. For some, that may be in this life. And for others and the rest who are living in rebellion from God, that patience ends at death as they stand before God in judgment. And these verses represent that wisdom will judge. Charles Bridges says that Savior calls by His word and His providence and His ministers and His consciences, but they refuse. Not until His calls have been refused does He thunder forth these warnings. But such grace, such rich and free, yet rejected. Who can take the gauge of this guilt? All creatures besides are His servants. Man alone resists. He stretched out His hands to afford help, to confer blessing, to beseech its acceptance, even to command attention to His call. But no man regarded. The wisest counsel, the most solemn reproof, it is all set at nothing. And this is where we see wisdom judges. The judgments are divided into several categories. Verses 22 through 25, we see that wisdom's long-suffering runs out. Because I've called and you've refused, I've stretched out my hands and no one has regarded. That gospel offer, that free offer of the gospel goes out, and it goes out freely in sincerity, that if we turn from our sins and hold on to Jesus Christ, that he will hear us and he will accept us and we will be found in him. But here, that long-suffering of God runs out. And the result of that is verses 26 and 27, where wisdom laughs and mocks. I want you to know something that is important. God is not here making fun of them. Like, we hear that laugh and mock, and we think, well, why is God making fun of these people, these simple ones, and these scorners, and these fools? He is not making fun of them, but he's laughing at the fact that the ongoing rejection and the ongoing being told how this will end ends in the result that they should expect, and yet they don't. No sinner expects the judgment of God. No sinner expects condemnation or hell, even as these warnings are given time and time again. It's like the child being told to not touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. And then when they touch the stove and they get their hands burned, the parent says, you know, I told you that's what was going to happen. And it's not because they're mocking them or making fun of them. It's almost this surprise at the foolishness that every one of us has within our hearts. The fool will be taken by his own folly. The fool refuses instruction and refuses to do what is right. And the fool comes to foolish ends. It's almost like the roadrunner and the coyote. They always end predictably, don't they? But they end predictably because it is foolish ways that are set out. And here we see the simple and the fool and the scorner, and they're rejecting wisdom's call over and over again. And the promise of the scripture is that the long-suffering runs out, that the laughter and the mockery happens, and then the terror comes. God will turn over those to a reprobate mind. See, the greatest judgment of God is giving you what you want. And that might sound not right, but it is true. The heart that is in rebellion from God, as God protects that simple one or that fool or that scorner, as God protects this person from being as rebellious and wild and hate-filled as they can be, when they're turned over to a reprobate mind, it's as if God lifts his hands and he just gives them everything they've ever wanted. And the scriptures tell us that this is the greatest of judgments, and terror comes. The fool will become forever foolish. Death and judgment, verse 28 to 30. Death and judgment come, and it is too late. Then they call on God, and he will not answer. Then they seek God, and they will not find. And God tells us the answer in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Again, this isn't, you know, scary, angry God preaching. This is preaching that says that God gives them exactly what they want. And then when judgment comes, they say, I promise I'm sorry. I promise I'll do better. I promise it will change. And the judgment has already been declared and poured out. When the time of God, when the time of death comes, all will know God and all will know truth experientially. It doesn't mean that it is positive. Even verse 31 to 32, their fruit and their fancies, God will give them what they have earned, what they have planted and sown and reaped for their whole lives. And this will result in hell. It is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. One commentator said, we must not soften God's own words by misplaced, presumptuous tenderness. Have we never seen them verified in the dying sinner who is neglected and scoffed at the gospel and never sent up one cry for mercy on his soul? Friends, the scary part about this section, again, is you hear of judgment, you hear of death to come, and you say, well, why didn't anyone tell them? And the teacher tells us that wisdom has been crying in the streets. And she's been crying in the marketplace. And she's been crying at the city gates. They may not ever come and step foot in the temple of God. But wisdom has gone out. And here we see that it is too late. Judgment comes. Christ is the wisdom of God and he speaks. Christ is the wisdom of God and he judges. But thirdly, and this is why I skipped verses 23 and 32, or I'm coming back to them. Thirdly, wisdom invites. Wisdom invites. Look at verse 23. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. And verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. So we have two invitations that come together to make one thing. It's turning at the rebuke of wisdom, and then turning away from simplicity, turning away from foolishness, turning away from the life of scorning. The invitation from wisdom, as she yells in the streets, is a reminder that she is calling each one of us away from a life of foolishness and destructive worldviews and behaviors that will damn us. And she's calling us to have Jesus Christ lifted up. And you are invited to come and to unite yourself with Jesus Christ and live. Turn at my rebuke and turn away from simplicity. Congregation, wisdom calls you to be wise. You are called to be in the way of God and to walk in the way of God. And this happens, as you know, through believing the gospel. Verse 23 and 32 tell us that you must repent. Repentance is turning away from and turning towards something else. And this is what wisdom is calling us to do, is to repent. Thomas Watson one time said, "Repentance is a grace of God's Spirit whereby a sinner, inwardly humbled and visibly reformed, for further amplification, know that repentance is a spiritual medicine made up of six ingredients: the sight of sin, sorrow for sin, confession of sin, shame for sin, hatred for sin, and a turning from sin." We are to live in this way, turning away from sin and turning to Jesus Christ. So the wisdom is here saying, simple ones, turn away. Turn away and turn towards Christ. Or foolish ones, turn away and turn towards Christ. Scorners, turn away and turn towards Christ. The simple ones must here have a backbone and begin to live for Jesus Christ. There is hope that fools can change if they hear the voice of wisdom, who offers to pour her Spirit upon them. Why would we refuse such an invitation, especially in the light of the New Testament, knowing that wisdom, that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, and this promise for the Spirit to be poured out upon you is the promise of Jesus Christ pouring out His Spirit upon you. Why would we continue to live in simplicity or foolishness or scorn? C.S. Lewis one time said, concerning the judgment, that in the end, there are only two kinds of people: those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." Friends, we want to be in humble submission to God. And we want to hear wisdom. We must have our Bibles open and hear the wisdom of God and let that wisdom cry out in the streets and in the marketplace and in the government halls. Wisdom cries out because the race around us is dying. And as she calls, she's saying, "Listen to me that you may live." Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths of the book of Proverbs. Protect our hearts and minds from seeing it merely as a moralistic book, but help us to see it in the context of our great Savior, the one who calls us that we may live. Amen.